In today's episode, I'm going to help you see that perfectionism is not helpful. It's not your friend. Perfectionism can kill your dream before you ever start. And it can kill you. I want to help you begin to recognize perfectionism and also give you three simple things you can do to combat it and neuter its power so that you can enjoy the journey, make real progress toward your dream, grow and expand your horizons, and learn to trust your God-given calling once again. That's all coming up next, right here on Stop Doubting Your Dream. Stay tuned. If you have a deep-rooted dream you long to pursue but feel held back by self-doubt, the possibility of failure, and the relentless demands of everyday life, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Jeff Meyer, and I know that taking the leap of faith to make your dream a reality and overcome the seeds of doubt planted by those who say it's too risky can feel overwhelming and discouraging sometimes and cause you to question whether or not your dream is worth pursuing at all. But the truth is, it doesn't have to be an either-or choice. It's possible to pursue your dream without risking your stability or security in the process. And each week on the show, I'm going to show you and give you practical action steps you need to turn your dream into a viable source of income so you can live without regret, reshape your future, and create the meaningful change you want to see in the world, all without leaving your day job. So if you're someone who's ready to stop doubting your dream and start living it, let's dive in. Welcome back. This is episode number 60, and today we're talking about perfectionism. And if I had some sound in the background, boo, hiss, the crowds, perfectionism, the enemy. At least that's what I wanted you to take out of it today, and hopefully give you some help in addressing it. Before I jump into the content I want to share with you today, I want to take you back a few years, 2019, just before the pandemic, about a year into publishing my first book, and it had been launched and been out selling for about a year. And I was a top 10 finalist for a global award for authors called the Author Academy Awards. I was invited to a conference because I was in the top 10 of my niche, invited to a conference in Columbus, Ohio with international authors. We were all competing, a group of us, for the General Nonfiction Award, the top 10 in that award with over, 7,500 authors that applied for that award. The top 10, I was included in that, were given 90 seconds in a room full of judges to talk about, define, and summarize our books. So I had 90 seconds to describe and summarize my 314-page book. What a great challenge that was. I'm a public speaker. I preach every week. I haven't had an assignment that brought me more discomfort and pain in my entire life. How do you boil down 314 pages that you slaved over and define it and describe it in 90 seconds? Any preachers out there listening to this, I give you the challenge. This Sunday, when you're going up to preach, you get 90 seconds to deliver your message. It is a great challenge. Anyway, it brought a lot of discomfort and a lot of pain. And man, when you are forced to narrow down what you want to say in a really, really tight time frame, the perfectionist tendency in my soul just came screaming out, and it caused me so much pain that I could not figure out what I was going to say until literally the very last moment sitting in that room. I tried on the airplane ride down to Columbus. I attempted it the months before, and I kept procrastinating. We're going to talk about procrastination as one of the signs that you're struggling with perfectionism. And it was horrible. I doubted myself the entire time. I said, how can I possibly do it justice? I'm going to get blown away in the room. And that's when, because of the time frame given to me and because of the deadline, that's where I came up with the phrase, fear will come, fear will stay, move forward anyway. And it literally launched my podcast, which now I've relaunched under the title Stop Doubting Your Dream. My old podcast used to be called Move Forward Anyway. That phrase, I had people coming up to me in the conference all weekend long after I spoke, asking me what that phrase was. They wanted to write it down again, and they wanted to remember it. So the deadline forced me to overcome my procrastination. The award, being a top 10 finalist, forced me to overcome my perfectionist tendencies. And it was such a great exercise, and it was so rewarding to have done it. No, I did not win the award, but I was in the top 10, and what an honor. So I tell you that story to introduce this concept of perfectionism. It's often praised as a positive trait that helps individuals achieve great things. It's often mistaken for excellence. And because of this, perfectionism is a silent killer. It kills dreams before they're ever launched. And it actually kills people because of what it does to us on the inside, what it does to our bodies, our relationships, our psyche. And so today's episode, I want to give to you some specific ways you can identify when perfectionism is sabotaging your efforts. And then I want you to apply three simple things I'm going to give you to push aside your perfectionistic tendencies. So if you'd like to know the way forward, keep listening. All right. Those of us who struggle with procrastination, I also call it delay, one of my five killer D's I talk about in my book. The pain that we experience as a result of procrastinating is really interesting. There's pain that comes in the form of missed opportunities. There's pain that comes from unnecessary stress that we put on ourselves, the pain that maybe you struggle with, a sense of inadequacy. There's pain with procrastination that you're your worst critic. You have a harsh inner critic that constantly berates yourself for not being good enough or your product not being good enough. So procrastination is one of the pain-inducing problems that we want to talk about, and we can learn to identify it. So are you missing opportunities? Are you unnecessarily experiencing stress? You feeling inadequate, right? A second thing is negative self-talk that comes out of procrastination. It can lead to feelings of anxiety, depression, low self-esteem. And it's not only an internal problem, procrastination and perfectionism is, it also strains our relationships. The pursuit of perfectionism can result in broken friendships. Because if you're a perfectionist for yourself, you're going to have a tendency to also put unrealistic expectations on others. And this can lead to disappointment, frustration, resentment even. It's important for us to understand that everyone has flaws and imperfections and to focus on the positive qualities in others instead of placing unrealistic expectations on them. For me, it strains relationships because I so desperately want to receive people just as they are, that I give them passes, which then I internalize with my own perfectionist tendencies. And I give them a pass, but then I'm frustrated with myself because I didn't hold them accountable. And it can just really strain relationships. It also, perfectionism can create burnout. Maybe you struggle with this. Perfectionists tend to push themselves to the point of burnout in their pursuit of the perfect product or the perfect offer. And this can result in physical and mental exhaustion, decreased productivity, a diminished sense of fulfillment in life. And finally, the fear of failure. Perhaps the most harmful result of perfectionism is the fear that we're going to fail. And so we avoid taking risks or trying new things for fear of it not succeeding. And this can lead to missed opportunities and a sense of stagnation in life. So, what mistakes are we making that cause us to lean into perfectionism and experience these problems, these points of pain in our lives? Well, here's a few that I've wrestled with, a few that I've seen in my clients. Number one, what are mistakes are we making? Number one, we focus on the negative. People with perfectionist tendencies often focus on what they do wrong or what they could have done better rather than what they did right. And this negative self-talk is a vicious cycle that leads to self-doubt. It leads to anxiety. Another mistake that causes this pain is that we not only focus on the negative, but we set, number two, set unrealistic expectations. Perfectionists tend to set incredibly high standards for themselves and others, usually unreachable. Another mistake, we avoid risk. Perfectionists often avoid risk-taking or trying new things for fear of failing and making mistakes. This avoidance, you can see what happens, can actually lead to missed opportunities and lack of growth. The fourth thing that I see people making as mistakes that are causing the pain that results from perfectionism is seeking validation from others. Ouch. We tend to often base our self-worth on external validation from others, colleagues, bosses, parents, siblings, friends, social media followers. As perfectionists, we may seek approval or recognition from others rather than focusing on our own internal satisfaction. So why do we make these mistakes so frequently? Why do we focus on the negative? Why do we set unrealistic expectations? Why do we avoid risk? Why do we seek validation from others? Well, the reason for the why is because we have some beliefs that we're holding inside of us that we need to shine the light on to see if they're actually true. Beliefs like, if I fail, others will reject me. Beliefs like, I am not enough. I must be perfect in order to be loved or seen or approved. Beliefs like, if I can get everything just right, I can avoid discomfort, pain, or loss and achieve the success and happiness that I long for. Beliefs like, if I reveal my imperfections, if I'm vulnerable and show my limitations, I'm going to be judged, I'm going to be rejected and dismissed. We also may believe that we do not have what it takes to handle challenges or make tough decisions. Now, do any of those land with you? Do you subtly, maybe deep down believe that these kind of things are true? Well, these are the beliefs, some of the beliefs that lead to all these mistakes that are causing us pain. Focusing on the negative, setting unrealistic expectations, avoiding risk, seeking validation from others, all because we believe these things to be true. And so we need to challenge those beliefs, be in a community of people that can help us challenge those to see if they're true, and to replace those beliefs with beliefs that are actually helpful and true. So what is it costing you to keep making these mistakes that we've talked about here? What's it costing you? I would suggest that the cost is pretty monumental. The beliefs that we hold in our hearts unchallenged, like I just shared, are costing you your mental and physical health. They're costing you new discoveries. They cost you personal growth. They cost us relationships. And they cost us opportunities to be seen, heard, and appreciated, and loved. So I'd like to show you a different way. Things that we can do instead of focusing on the negative, instead of setting unrealistic expectations, instead of avoiding risk, in place of seeking validation for others, okay? I want to show you a new way. I want to give you, as I promised at the beginning of this episode, three things that you can do today instead of these four mistakes that we keep making. Okay, you ready? Number one, new way number one is celebrate small wins. I have so many people that come up to me and they start with the phrase like this. They start saying, "I'm not sure this counts, but I'm not sure this is big enough, but." In our Dream Accelerator group coaching program, my clients a lot of times will say, "Well, you want us to celebrate wins this week? Okay, well, I've got something, but I'm not sure it's good enough." No. Stop. The new way to do, instead of the mistakes that you keep making that will help you be more positive and replace the negative self-talk, is to celebrate small wins. It'll also help you shift your perspective on perfectionism. Perfectionists minimize small wins. So celebrating small wins is a new way to help us actually shift our perspective on perfectionistic tendencies, and we can practice it relentlessly every day until it becomes a habit. One of the ways you might want to do that is at the end of the day, pull out a journal and celebrate any small wins during the day, whatever they might be in your dream pursuit, whatever they might be in the change you want to make in your life. Let's celebrate the small wins. And then eventually we can remove that word small and just look at them as wins. Okay, new way number two, set smaller goals. Break down those insurmountable goals into something more achievable. Most of the goals that you set, I'm guessing, could be broken up into multiple smaller goals. Right now, I'm looking at my office and it is a disaster and I want to do something about it. But every time I walk in here, it is overwhelming. Been there? And so it's been weeks. I haven't done anything about it for weeks. Is there some way I could break down, clean up my office, organize my office, make it more conducive to what I'm doing? Insurmountable goal into more bite-sized goals. Of course there is. So set smaller goals. something more achievable. Another thought here, make yourself accountable to produce the work, to share the thought, to record the song, to write the chapter, to share the work. It's one of the great things about being a preacher is that I have to get up in front of people every single week and share some thoughts that God has given me around a section of scripture. If I didn't have that Sunday morning accountable moment, I would tweak my messages until Jesus comes back, and I would never deliver it because it can always be improved. Same thing with writing a book. It could always be improved. Same thing with writing a song. It could always be improved, right? But you keep improving it to a point where you never share it and it never blesses the world. So set smaller goals, make yourself accountable to someone else to produce the work, give yourself some deadlines, and put your stuff out there. The world needs it, okay? Celebrate small wins, set smaller goals, and number three, something you can do instead, is experiment. Look at your efforts as experiments. Look at what you're producing, your content, as experiments. Marketers understand this. They're always putting stuff out, not as a perfected piece, but they're looking at how it's going to be reacted to so they can learn and adjust and tweak and improve moving forward. So look at your efforts as experiments and replace the focus on results with a joyful anticipation of the journey, right? Look at everything as an experiment, just trying it out. You can step back with no hooks into the results and just go, well, how did that work out? Okay, not so good. What can I change to make it better? Celebrate small wins, set smaller goals, and experiment. Those are the three simple things you can do instead of these four mistakes that we talked about earlier. And I think they will lead, I know they lead to better results overall. More fulfilling, more progress, more movement in our dream pursuit. So some of you might be saying, well, I don't know about this. I'm not so sure. Let me tell you why this way is better. Why these three simple steps is better than what you're currently doing. Because it turns inertia into momentum, number one. Small wins create movement. Focusing on the large creates overwhelm and inertia. So if you're struggling with inertia, the way to turn it into movement, small wins. Another reason this way works so much better is that focusing on smaller and what is right in front of you also dissipates overwhelm. Because the reality is, you can't control the big thing. You can only control what's right in front of you. So focus on what is smaller. Finally, why does this way work so much better? Because experimenting enables us to discover new approaches, to learn new skills, and to figure out what works and what doesn't work, to make an adjustment and move forward. It helps us to broaden our horizons, experience new challenges, and have new experiences and grow in areas that we may not have considered before. Embracing experimentation helps us find meaning in failure and challenges us to strive for more. And finally, another reason this way is better is that we get to experience joy along the way instead of all the pressure and anxiety that perfectionism creates. While your destination is important, yes, it should not overshadow the joys, the daily lessons learned, and the growth experienced during the journey towards achieving it. I mean, what good is it if we achieve the dream and life gets sucked out of us in the process, right? So, let me close with just this one question. I like to ask this with people who are stuck in perfectionism. if nothing changes for you, if you do nothing to try to implement a change right now with where you're at, where are you going to be 6 weeks from now? You are perfectly designed to get the results you're getting right now as it relates to perfectionism. So if everything is working for you and you're not struggling with it, then there's no reason to change. When I wrote my first book, there was so much overwhelm in writing a book. When I wrote it, it was the first time I had experienced that overwhelm. The one thing that helped me move the needle forward, do you want to know what it was? It was sharing my writing each and every week on a Friday with a couple of accountable friends. I simply copied, cut, and pasted the text in my app that I was using to write. And I sent it to two friends, and sometimes they would respond and sometimes they wouldn't. But it was that one thing that every Friday I had to have some writing to share. Just getting my writing out there was a way for me to be accountable to smaller steps. And you know what it did? It created momentum. And over time, that simple act began to affirm my voice in a way that helped me start to believe that I actually had something meaningful to share with the world. Without that simple step, I really believe today that I may still be thinking about writing a book. So I'm thankful to those two friends for providing me a simple act forward. That's what I got for you today, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Stop Doubting Your Dream. If you want to take the next step in bringing your dream to life, could I give you a simple assignment? And I hope you're out there saying, yes. Here's the assignment. Would you share a small win with me this week? I would love to have those rolling in my emails. So really, seriously, drop me an email and share your win. Jeff@jeffmeyercoaching.com. I look forward to reading your small wins and celebrating with you. If you like the show today, if you like the show in general, could I ask you, if you're listening on Apple, scroll down in your app, leave a review. If you want to leave a review just for this episode or for the whole show, go for it. I really appreciate it. Your reviews help others find the show and also find the help they need to stop doubting their dream. Next week on the show, we're going to explore the best time to take action on your dream. Is there a perfect time? Are there signs that it is time? I'm hearing Rafiki, it is time. The uncertainty of timing can be a pressure-inducing reality that adds nothing to the equation. Nothing to the equation more than just quitting on your dream and on yourself before you even start. And I want to show you how you can actually create a pressure release valve that brings relief. Join me back here next week. And until then, remember, the journey toward your dream begins today. Take action with a single step.